Good morning. Today's daf in Bamitzias Yud Gimel. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're starting Hai Shivcha Hechidami. It is right in the middle of the Amud, just a little bit north of that. Okay, we're finishing up yesterday from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if your child finds something, it's yours. If your wife finds something, it's yours. If your Eved or Shivcha Kananis finds something, it's yours. If your Eved Ivri finds something, it's theirs. Okay, good. The Mitziaso. So findings belong to whom? Now again, as I already pointed out yesterday, this is something that we discussed extensively back in Seder Nashim, because we know that that girls are under the jurisdiction of the father. Okay, when they are katana, when they are nara, so they're under the domain of their father. Of course, it's going to go to the father. Mitziyasa la'avia, something that we've gone over numerous times. So, what is the Mishnah doing over here in Bab Mitzia? So, first of all, this is the Mishnah in Bab Mitzia, and the first couple prakim are all about money that is somewhat in limbo. And who does it belong to? Money in dispute. If you want to give a theme to the first couple prakim of Bab Mitzia. So, right, the first Mishnah in Bab Mitzia, which, you know, just 2 weeks ago, two short weeks ago, we were doing. So two people are holding on to a talis. And who does it belong to? Good. And generally speaking, that's what we're talking about, money that's in dispute. So that's why we're doing the Mishnah regarding Mitzia. In other words, who does it belong to? But considering that we've done this Mishnah so many times back in Seder Nashim, so what are we doing here? So we're doing cotton, really. In other words, what about the boy? The boy is not under the domain of the father. So your cotton son picks up an item. Who does it belong to? It belongs to the father. So why does it belong to the father? So yesterday we got involved in a discussion in the Gemara regarding whether or not a katan has a zechus or does he not have a zechus. Can he be zochim in a Torah? Can he not be zochim in a Torah? When he picked it up, did he pick it up for the father? We got involved in that discussion. We're now going to move on. So we are now up to the shivcha. So we said that the shivcha ivris, so mitziyasa la'atzma. So the Mishnah told us that if you have a shivcha ivris, say an ama ivriya, let's say a little bit better, not better, the Mishnah said shivcha, but just a little bit clearer. And so you have an ama ivriya, so that means to say that she is that she is now employed by you. The truth of the matter is you purchased her. Again, go back to Seder Nashim in Kiddushim. In the first parak, we talked about Amma Ivriya extensively. So anyway, so if she picks something, it belongs to her. So immediately the Gemara jumps into the following discussion. Hashivcha Echidami. So my guy. So the Gemara says, now, where is she in terms of her development? So if she has Shtei Sarah, she's no longer by her master. The Mishnah Kedushin, Daf Yudalet. So that Shtei Saros is going to bring her to Cheirus. And Ida lo aisi Shtei Saros ilisa av davu av yavi Ida leisa av. So tepuk be misas av. Damar Reish Lakish. Konas atzma be misas av. Now the Gemara says, now, our Ami Yivriya. If she has a father, so the Mitzia goes to her father. And if she does not have a father, she goes free. Again, another discussion that we had back in Kedushin, and that is an Amma Yivriya goes free with the death of her father. So I didn't finish reading the line. Amma Yivriya konas atzma b'misas av mirshas adam mikav chomer. Good. So she's going to go free with the death of her father. So v'lavi susav reish lakish. So the Gemara says, neima mehay nami te'avit yufta. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you don't remember the Gemara in Kedushin? Now over here, I'll make a somewhat small admission. I don't remember all the details of the Gemara Kedushin right now. Okay. In other words, it's a lot. There's a lot happening since Kedushin in our Gemara here in Bab Mitzia. But if you remember the Gemara in Kedushin, so you don't remember that that Reish Lakish's position was upset, meaning that he was based on a Kal V'Chomer, and the Gemara poked holes in the Kal V'Chomer, and that's not the halacha. The halacha is not that the Amma Ivriya goes free with the death of her father. So the Gemara says, Neima mehay nami te'avit yufta. So the Gemara says, okay, so just simply pile on. Meaning Reish Lakish's position was disproven in Kedushin. And over here, we're now in Bab Mitzia. Let's just do that again. Okay, and then pile on. So the Gemara says, lo, la'olam di'isei la'av, umay hari hein shalahen, la'afukad d'raba. So the Gemara says, maybe her father's alive. Meaning that, yes, you're right. As far as vis-a-vis Reish Lakish's concern, his position was in fact upended in the Gemara Kedushin. But as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah doesn't have to get involved in that. Our Mishnah could just simply be saying that you have an Ami Ivriya that finds an item, it doesn't go to her master. That could just simply be the entire point of our Mishnah. Meaning even though the Adon purchased her, and even though she's now currently employed by the Adon, that part's true. But in terms of a mitzia, she's still under the domain, under the jurisdiction of her father. And it just, that's all our Mishnah is saying. I know the Mishnah said, shelahen, it belongs to her. It means her to the exclusion of her master. But then you just go back to the regular rules of what her means. Her means her father. Okay. That's how you could say over our Mishnah. Mitzias ishto. And then finally, the last point that we want to cover from yesterday's daf, and that is that if it's your wife, but let's just add two important letters. If it's your ex-wife, so and then she finds something, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to her. And then, obviously, you know, right, we all know. Phil, you already know. You know what the Gemara is going to ask. So, Girshup Shita. So, okay, fine. So, she's your ex-wife. So, okay, good. So, it means that you, the two of you were married. You're no longer married. She finds something. It doesn't go to you. I need a Mishnah in Bava Metzia to teach me that halacha. It's obvious. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about Suffolk Gerishin. So Balachai b'mazonos seha. Time amai. I'm a rabban. Mitzias yishal abala ki echadolot teave ba eva. V'hacha isla eva ve'eva. So the Gemara says in the case of Suffolk migureshes. So what we want her to do is we want her to keep her mitzias. Why? In other words, by Suffolk migureshes. So and the Gemara elsewhere goes through examples of what exactly it means Suffolk migureshes, but in the case of Suffolk, so here's what we want to do. Generally speaking, what do we want between husband and wife? We want shalom bayis. So we want shalom bayis. So therefore, as legislated, in order for there to be shalom bayis, she finds an item. It's going to go to her husband. Good. That's part and parcel of the package of marriage. We've covered so many times. But over here now, in other words, the gerushin process has started. It just happens to be that right now she's in the state of Suffolk. Right? The Gemara in Gittin, if I recall. Right, he throws her the get. We don't know whether land approximate to him, proximate to her. Good. In other words, there are a number of ways to get to Suffolk. But now she's Suffolk Gerushin. So now, you know what the Chachamim would love? Not a Suffolk. Meaning, in other words, finish the process of Gerushin. So anything that'll create more of a wedge between them, beautiful. Right? It's the opposite of every drasha you hear on Shabbos, right? In other words, we want peace, we want harmony. Here, we don't want peace, and we don't want harmony. Meaning they started the gerushin process. So now they're in some sort of limbo state because of some halachic difficulty. So in other words, so you know what? She finds the mitzvah, she gets to keep it. That's the din. Okay, now what's the husband going to do? He's going to get more upset. Yeah, perfect. Good, perfect. In other words, that's what we want. In other words, we want the gerushin process to come to a conclusion. Okay. Beautiful. Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. I know we're still on yesterday's daf, but in my mind now we could separate. So now we begin the Mishnah. Okay. And as I pointed out right before we started the daf today, right before I hit the record button, so I have it straight. And we're going to have moments of lucidity, right? A couple of minutes where I got the whole sugya clear in my head, and I don't know how long it's going to last. So, but as long as it's clear in my head now for the next 15, 20, 30 minutes, however long the sugya is going to be, so let's get it out, let's get it clear. And let's put it on. I'm going to admit right now this is going to be a bit of a tricky sugya, and I myself went over this Gemara. I'm not going to give a number, but you know, multiple times. Let's just say it like that. And I've learned this Gemara before, and you know, good. So I have a small advantage of having seen this numerous times. But regardless, I'm admitting over here it's going to get a little bit tricky. I admit there's a lot of moving parts over here, but at least for the time being, I got it clear. Matzah Shtarichov. Okay, so the case over here is very simple. What we're litigating is really straightforward, and that is I find a note. Okay, so we've been talking about Metzias yesterday, so today we're going weiter in finding Metzias, and what did I do? I found a note, an IOU. Okay, so as I already explained the anatomy of a note, it's really simple, and that is that there's a borrower, there's a lender, and now in the note it's identified who the borrower is, who the lender is, what's the amount of the loan. When is it due, and when is the date of the origination of the loan? A location also is going to be on the note as well. Okay, good. And in other words, it's a simple IOU. It's a piece of paper, but obviously the paper represents the loan. And also, what's important to remember throughout this discussion is that because now it's a documented loan, it's a milveh bishtar. So now we have another group of people that we have to take into consideration, and that's of course a lukuchos. In other words, because now there is a lien on property. In other words, once a borrower now has documented the loan, So that means to say that all of the borrower's properties are now going to be mortgaged against that loan. And that in the event of default now, so what the lender is able to do is now exercise that lien. And he can go after the properties. The properties were sold to other people. As long as the date of the loan is earlier than the date of the sale, so now his lien is going to come first before any purchaser, and he's going to go to the lekuchos, and he's going to simply take back the properties. So now we're looking at the finding of a note, and what do I do with it? So do I return it to the lender? That's the question. The question is really easy. It's really straightforward. And as we're going to see, there are a number of variables to take into consideration. All those variables are going to be coming up, but as we go through the Gemara. So right now I'm saying over the Mishnah, we're going to hear the Mishnah, but really understanding is going to come much better when we start with the Gemara. So the Mishnah. Maser sharechovim yesh by machreis nechasim lo yachzir shebeitin nifrayim mehem. Ein bahem machreis nechasim yachzir shein beitin nifrayim mehem. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir will tell you the following. Whether or not I can return the note to its owner, meaning the lender, is going to be contingent on one variable. Was there a chreis nechasim in the shar, was there not? Meaning, Rabbi Meir will tell you the following. Is this note going to have a lien? Well, let's pick up the note and let's read it. In other words, if it has a lien, it will say so in the note itself. But if it doesn't say in the note that this note is going to attach a lien to properties, so then there's no achreis nechasim. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, if the note writes in it that there's achreis nechasim, then yesh. And if it doesn't write so, then ain. Doesn't the fact that the note documented, doesn't that by itself create shibah nechasim? Rav Meir will tell you no. No. In other words, Rav Meir says that it only has shibah nechasim only if it says so in the note. And therefore, according to Rav Meir, if in fact it's written shibah nechasim, if there is achrayas in the note, then yes, go ahead and return it. Sorry. No. Then no. Then no, don't return it. But if it doesn't say so, then yes, return it. And you have to be wondering at this point in time, and that's why I'm saying right now, we don't have understanding yet. Right now, I'm just laying the facts down. Why? Meaning, why wouldn't I give it back to the lender? Whether there is or there isn't a shibud. What's the difference? So hold the thought, because we don't yet have understanding. Right now, just the facts. And according to the Chachamim, again, let's wait, because Gemara is going to speak it out. The Chachamim Amar Ben Kach Ben Kach Lo Mim Neisha Beizin Ifrayim Mehem. And according to the Chachamim, no. Don't return it, because every note, whether it has a chreis nechasim or does not have a chreis nechasim, every note will represent a chreis nechasim. But it's not there in the note. So the Chachamim Shita throughout Shas is Tot Sofer, meaning that look, you know, the Sofrim are busy and you know they're doing a lot and they're writing all day, and so sometimes they leave it out. But that was just an omission. In other words, but according to the Chachamim, every note is going to represent an achrayus. A shibah nechasim, and now what's going to happen is that if I return it to the lender, so now he's going to use it as an instrument to go ahead and to collect his loan. Okay, and therefore don't return it. So right now, at this point in time, we have a Mishnah. What happens if I find the shtar chov? So I'm out in the street and somebody's note, and I pick it up, and there's somebody's note. So do I return it? Rav Meir says depends on whether or not there's a shibah nechasim or there's no shibah nechasim written in the note. And the Chachamim will say, it does not depend. Don't return it. Good. Now, b'mayaskinan. So now we start with the Gemara. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are right after the Mishnah. And now what we need is understanding. We don't have understanding yet. Right now we have information, but we don't have any understanding. And so let's begin. B'mayaskinan. Ilei mekeshechayev modem. Ki yesh b'machayev techasim amay lo yachzer. Hamodem. And v'ikishen chayev mode ki ein b'em achreis nechasim amay yachzer nihitalo gabim mishabne mimrechav magbe gabe. So the Gemara says, now what is the borrower's position at this point in time? We have somebody in the street finding somebody's note. Obviously, there are now two parties involved. There's a lender and there's a borrower. And the question now is, do I return it to the lender? Yes or no? So the Gemara says, well, at this point in time, am I not interested to know what the borrower's position is? Meaning, if the borrower says that the note's a good note, yeah. In other words, I borrowed money, and I'm not denying anything in the note. If that's the borrower's position, so then why not just give it to the lender? In other words, the borrower is not denying the note, And so, and the lender obviously would like his money back. So then just take the note and hand it over to the lender. What's the problem? And if the borrower is denying the whole thing, so then don't give it back to the lender. In other words, the lender currently is not holding the note right now. And so don't give it to the lender. In other words, hold on to it, give it to Beis Din, but don't give it back to the lender. And if I give it back to the lender, so nihi, I read this, but I'm just rereading this. Nihi de lo gabe me mishabdim, nihi me gabe. So even if we're going to take the position that we're not going to be collecting from nechasim mishubadim, which again is Reb Meir's position, but still now you're going to empower the lender to go ahead and collect on something that the borrower has denied ever occurred. Why would you do that? So isn't it critical now, whether or not I should return the note to the lender, isn't it critical to know what the borrower says? And when the Gemara, and to which the Gemara says, and now I don't even understand. If the borrower says that the note is a good note, accurate, represents a loan that actually happened, return it. and if the borrower is denying that it ever happened, don't return it. Okay, so the Gemara says, what's happening over here? So la'olam kishachayev moda. V'ahachayin of time at the chayshin shem akasav lovos benisan. So Gemara says like this. What's our Mishnah talking about? The moda, the love is moda. Borrower fully recognizes and admits the loan is good. I did borrow money from him. I owe him the money. Oh, okay, good. So you owe him the money. Oh, okay. So, and what did the Mishnah say? And under those circumstances, don't give it back to the lender. Why would we not give it back to the lender? How does that make any sense if the moda admits that the loan is in fact a correct loan? I really do owe him the money. So the Gemara says, here's my concern. My concern is the following, is that if you give the note back to the lender, so what he's going to do is he's going to exercise a lien. Now, when did the lien begin? Ah, that's the problem. The problem is we don't know exactly when the lien began, meaning the note was written up in, let me just stay faithful to the Gemara. The note was written up in Nisan. Okay, good. We're 1 month away. So the note was written up in Nisan. But in other words, but the Lova didn't actually borrow the money until 6 months later. And so maybe over here, what the note is doing is that it's providing a fictitious date regarding when did the lien actually begin. And now what the lender is going to do is that the lender is going to go to a buyer, having purchased the property anytime in the summer, between Nisan and Tishrei, and now what the lender is going to do is he's going to exercise a lien, but there's no real lien. The lien only begins when the money is lent, and that only occurred 6 months after the note was written. Okay, and by the way, in other words, what we could suggest also is that the borrower at that point in time was holding onto the note in that 6 month duration, meaning that maybe the borrower was just ready to borrow money, but in terms of when did he actually need the money, it wasn't until 6 months later. And so therefore, the concern is that we have a 6 month fictitious lien, which will then allow the lender to go ahead and to collect from the lekuchos. And so in service of the lekuchos, meaning, you've heard me say this before, I get to say it again, we're protecting buyers, meaning that the chachamim, as part of their thought process of who do we need to care about, they need to care about everybody, but over here now in this kind of commercial activity, So concern and regard now is given towards the borrower. I'm sorry, I was about to say borrowers. Concern and regard are given now to the lekuchos. We want to make sure that the lekuchos are properly protected. So in service of that, if you find a shtar, so don't give it back to the lender because I don't know if the lien really began when the date says so. Maybe it began only 6 months later. So now you're probably wondering, the Gemara wonders, why aren't we always worried about that? Meaning, right, that's a little bit strange. Meaning we're worried about 6 months where the note was written, but the loan didn't actually materialize. It didn't really originate. The loan occurred only after 6 months after the note was written. Why isn't that always a concern? So the Gemara says, Koshtar lo raya, hani, re'e. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why in general I'm not concerned. Because generally speaking, who's holding on to the note? The lender. If the lender's holding on to a note, then we assume everything was done kadasu kadin. Everything was done correctly. But over here, however, I'm wondering, right? It's a little bit strange. Where's the note right now? In the street? Meaning, why wasn't the lender really careful about holding on to that note. So we have what's called an halacha reyusa. In other words, there's something now that allows us to raise an eyebrow and wonder, what's going on over here? How come the note's out in the street? So the Gemara says, now, in other words, under normal circumstances, we're not worried. We're not concerned that the note is not faithfully representing when the loan actually originated. The date on the loan is when the note is, sorry, the date on the note is when the loan actually originated. That's what we're normally going to assume. That's a default position, and we can normally assume that. But once we find the note in the street, so now all of a sudden our antennas go up. That's a little strange. Maybe the note is not faithfully representing when the loan actually started. Okay.
I have a question. It may sound stupid. If one finds a note, he announces, "I found a note," and let's go find out exactly what's involved in this. How does this work?
No. There's no need to announce. In other words, the note is written who the lender is and who the borrower is.
It's in my possession. How would anybody know I found it?
The question of the Mishnah is, what should the finder do?
I'm saying, why should he do anything?
Why should he do anything? Because there's a mitzvah in the Torah to return lost items to its rightful owner.
So you have to go to Beis Din and start the...
No, wait. Don't need to make it more complicated. It's really simple. You find something, you have to return it to its owner.
It says the name, right?
It says the name right there in the note, who it belongs to. Give it back to the owner.
But then you don't know whether you should give it back or not.
That's what we're discussing. That's today's daf.
I'm saying, so how would you know whether you should return it or not? The finder, what does he have to do to find out whether you should return it? Does he have to go to
the... Yes. Well, in other words, he'll ask his Rav, and the Rav knows our Gemara today. Okay, good. Good. Okay. So, Elahad did not so fun. So where are we right now in the Gemara? So far, we're good. Meaning, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, it's a machlokes between Rameh and the Chachamim. But right now, if I could just make this as simple as possible, as clear as possible. According to the Chachamim, you find a note, don't return it. And to which the Gemara says, wait one second. What did the borrower say? Did the borrower say he owes it or he doesn't know it? If he owes it, Shalma Yisrael, we should be good, right? And if he doesn't know it, so then don't return it. In other words, the lender is right now not currently holding the note. The borrower denies that the note ever existed. In other words, so don't return it. So right now, the ukimta in our Mishnah is that the borrower admitted that he owes the money, and then and now an explanation of the Chachamim, don't return it, because the note was lost, I'm concerned, we are concerned, that maybe the date on the note is not representing when the loan actually originated. There may be, the example of the Gemara is always 6 months. There may be a 6 month gap between when the note was written up and when the loan actually occurred. And as a result of that, so we're looking now at a fictitious lien, and that will now allow the lender to go ahead and illegally exercise a lien that doesn't really exist.
And if the borrower says that's really the real
date? In other words, the fact that the loan was now found in the street, at that point in time, we don't know. We just don't know. And in service of protecting the lekucho, so we're just simply not going to return it. That's what we're holding right now.
The Edom
are signed the star. Okay, so.
I mean, they signed without seeing the extra.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, so Rav Lifshitz already figured out. So in other words, so when this note was actually written up, who was there? The borrower was there, the lender was there. Meaning, isn't everyone there? And isn't the money exchanged? Okay, so. Brings us up now to part two of today's daf. Okay, and I know we didn't even get to today's daf, but now we're going to do part two of today's daf, and that's the Mishnah Baba Basra. Okay, so let's learn it together. So, Elahad did not say, now the Mishnah Baba Basra. So we're in the very bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and that is, Elahad did not kosher the Shtar Lelova, Afa Pishe Mavimo. So now, the Mishnah Baba Basra. How does a loan originate? Meaning, what does it exactly look like? So the Mishnah Baba Basra tells us the following. Borrower says, look, I'm in need of money. He gets the Edom, gets a sofer. Good. Here's what I want to do. I want to borrow money from that man. He already agreed. We spoke already. In other words, we don't need the lender here, says the Mishnah Baba Basra. So now what you can do, what you're allowed to do, says the Mishnah Baba Basra, is write everything up. The borrower is there. The witnesses are there. Good. And Shalma Yisrael. So says the Mishnah Baba Basra. Okay, now. L'chatchila hechi kasvinan. So now, given the little that we know, so now we're looking at the Mishnah Baba Basra, and our head is exploding. What? In other words, you're going to be writing a note for the Lova, but the Mava doesn't have to be there? Well, the Gemara says, Necha Shem HaKasav, Aluvos Benisav Alava Tishrei, Vasalem Itreif, Lekucha Shalok Kedin. Wait 1 second. In other words, so now you just handed the Lova, you just wrote up the note for the Lova so that he could borrow the money. And obviously we're dating it today. In other words, there's no way that we could predate it, postdate it. That's out of the question. We learned that together numerous times. It's the Mishnah Shvius. In other words, you have to date it today. Okay, but now the Lova is holding on to the note. Maybe I'll hold on to it for another 6 months. Meaning I need the money, but I don't need the money today. Maybe a month from now I'll go to the lender. 6 months from now I'll go to the lender. And now, years later, now when the lender's collecting, so in other words, when did the lien begin? Not as per the date written over here, but who knows, maybe 6 months later did the lien begin. And once again, this idea that we're worried about a fictitious lien, so over here, why aren't we worried about a fictitious lien? So Amar Rav Asi. So to this question now, we're going to give two basic approaches in today's daf. Approach number one. Amar Rav Asi b'shtari hakna d'hasha b'nafshei. Shtari hakna. Okay. Now over here, just have to accept that when you're writing a note, so sometimes the note is written with a kinyan, and sometimes it's written without a kinyan. Okay. When written with a kinyan, basically the note looks like this. Now again, I'm not the expert, but in other words, the little that I know, the Rashi over here, in other words, a shtar hakna means that you're writing the note for the lova, and in the note it actually writes, from this date, the lova is going to be mishabed all of his properties. And at that point in time, whether or not the money is actually transferred, it don't matter. In other words, what the borrower can do, even before the money is given to him for the loan, what the borrower can do now is that he can create a lien on his properties. Of course he can. Because again, when it comes to your money, you could do whatever you want with your money. You could be mochel your money, or in this particular case, you could be mishabed your money. Or in this case, I'm sorry, in this particular case, you could be mishabed your properties. So you can create a shibud. The loan didn't transpire yet. I understand, but by a shtar hakna'a, you can create the kinyan right here, right now. And so...
Why would a person do that?
He really wants money.
He puts himself in jeopardy. What happens if?
Okay, good. Why would he do that? He wants money. He's in need of money right now. There's a need. So when there's a need, so you'll do things. In other words, he will get the money. In other words, right now, because he's writing up a shtar, it means now that the lender's going to go ahead and lend him the money. The transfer is, I'll give you the note, you'll give me the money.
Why would he sign this property?
Wait, do me a favor. I gave the right answer. let's move along. There's a lot going on. Okay. So ihachi masis and diktanim yesh b'machrais nechasim lo yachzir. So the Gemara says, okay, now, we just learned a Mishnah Baba Basra, and we just learned together that you could write a note for a lova even with the mava not being there. And we wondered, well, how? Aren't we worried about writing a fictitious lien? The Gemara says, no, shtar hakna. It's not fictitious. Meaning the lova now will be mishabed his properties right now, right here, right now, even though the loan didn't start. And you could do that. So the Gemara says, oh, shtar hakna, really? Now let's go back to our Mishnah. So now in our Mishnah, the Gemara says, now let's review what's happening in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, now wait, we just rehashed our Mishnah and the pshat that we offered in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Now with all that, ibishtar hakna hashabe le nafshe, vi ibishtar delo hakna like lamechesha amarki like a milva bahadelo kasvinan. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. We should be good. Meaning, I found a note. Great. Found a note. What do I do? Mishnah says, don't return it. Okay, why not? Our Mishnah said, don't return it because... The Ukimta in our Mishnah is that the Lova was mowed that he actually owes the money. Okay, good. So what? Don't return it? Why not? So we said that the reason why you shouldn't return is because we're worried about that lag, that 6 month lag between when the note was actually written and when the money was actually given as loan. And now those 6 months, so from the note, it looks like there was a lien, but there really is no lien. That's what we said in our Mishnah. Now, after having learned the Mishnah Baba Basra, so the Gemara says, there should be no problem. Because consider, in other words, if I'm writing the loan, the note for the Lova, so what am I going to do? I'm going to write a Shtar Hakna. Good. And the Shtar Hakna means that the lien has now begun from the date of the note. So there is no fiction, it's not a fictitious lien. It's a real lien. So then give it back to the lender. Give the note back to the lender. And what are you worried about? Well, maybe it's not a Shtar Hakna. We wouldn't be writing a Shtar Hakna'a if the Malva is not there. So what would be the circumstance? What would be the situation where I found a note, the Lova was Modeh, and I'm not going to be returning it to the Malva? We should be returning it to the Malva. If it's a case of Shtar Hakna'a, the lien began effective immediately. And if there is no Shtar Hakna'a, meaning if it's a Shtar that's not a Shtar Hakna'a, I wouldn't be writing the note in absence of the Malva. So either way, we should be good. Okay.
Question.
Well, no, not yet, not yet, not yet, please. Let's first go through the flow, and then let's ask the question. What just happened over here? I just lost my spot, sorry. So the Gemara says, The thought process, the logic over here was flawless. You're right, and you're absolutely right. In the absence of the milva, we'll write up the shtar, and we will do so with a shtar hakna. And if we're not writing up a shtar hakna, the malva will be there. Perfect. You're right. But over here, again, let's reiterate. Where's the note right now? Picked up in the street. Right. Somebody left it on the floor. You know, if the note was done properly, so then the lender would have taken proper care of it. The fact that we found it on the floor, it's a reyusa. Meaning there's a reason why it's right now currently found on the floor. Because the lender was sloppy. But there's a reason why the lender was sloppy. Because the note's sloppy. We're not, in other words, it's not a conclusion, but it's certainly a concern. And so now at that point in time, you pick it up. You're right. If everybody were to follow the rules, so then the note would have been fine. But by virtue of the fact right now that we found it in the street, at least now raises suspicion that maybe the note was not done correctly. Okay. Okay, so where are we right now? We have our Mishnah here in Bava Metzia that says that when you find a note, you don't return it to the owner. I've made that mistake already a couple times. I don't return it to the owner. Again, Rav Meir, the Chachamim, right, whether or not the Achrayus is a Torah Sofer, not a Torah Sofer, but that's already, okay. Our Mishnah, let's just say it's simple. Our Mishnah says don't return it. And why not? In other words, what's a Lova saying? Lova is saying that I owe the money. So why not return it? So the Gemara, so Rav Asi in our Mishnah said, sorry, no. Right, let's do that again, because Rav Asi is explaining the Mishnah in Baba Basra. So the explanation that we gave is that we're worried about the lukuchos. In other words, what may happen is that there's a lag between the writing of the note and the actual execution of the note, the origination of the note. There may be as much of a 6 month lag; could be longer. In other words, but there could be a 6 month lag. And in such now, what it will allow the lender to do is to go ahead and illegally collect against a lien that's not really there. It's a fictitious lien.
Yep.
Correct. Correct. And so that's why he can't do it. And then all we have done up until now, right? In other words, that was our mission. That's the explanation. And then what we did is we learned the Mishnah Baba Basra, and the Mishnah Baba Basra teaching us that I can write a note for the borrower, and the lender doesn't have to be present for the writing of the note. And how did you understand that? So the Gemara says Rav Asi's presentation, the Mishnah Baba Basra, is that over there we wrote a Shtar Hakna'a, which means that the borrower was mishabed his properties, even though the loan didn't actually originate. But in other words, but the borrower has every right to go ahead and to be mishabed his properties, even though a loan hasn't occurred as of yet.
So
okay,
it's
Alan.
Like a sale?
Hakna means that I'm making a kinyan. In other words, now, it's not a sale because, in other words, he's not selling the properties, but in other words, he is now mortgaging his properties even though the loan hasn't occurred yet.
Is it based on the loan?
It's based on the loan that hasn't occurred yet, but in other words, but will occur. And once it occurs, that mortgage will go back to the date of the note. Alan, go ahead.
So a couple of questions. Number one, I know we can't change the date, right? You have to start.
Can't.
Can you write that the money won't be lent right away? And that, because how else can a guy protect himself?
Okay, when you say guy, you mean who are you talking about? Borrower, lender, or buyer? Okay, good. As we pointed out earlier, right now the borrower is in need of money.
Right.
So the borrower right now is going to put himself in a compromised position so that he can get money. What do you mean? The borrower right now is in a position of need.
Is there some form of receipt?
If he want,
in other words, it's not compromised. He's completely exposed.
Right, you're worried about exposure.
Yeah.
In other words, if he wants
the lenders wants, okay, now I got the loan. I'm not giving me all the properties. You didn't pay me back.
Okay.
You never gave me the money. There's no way.
No. I'm sorry. When we're writing the shtar for the borrower.
Yeah.
Meaning that right now we're writing the shtar. We're handing it to the borrower. Now at that point in time, the borrower's responsibility is hold on to that note for dear life until the actual origination of the loan. Once
the lender doesn't have the loan.
Right. I see.
The lender lost it. That's what
we don't know who lost it right now. In other words, it's a lost note.
The Gemara says the creditor, so that's what I didn't understand.
And now the Gemara is ukimta, and our mission is that the borrower said it does in fact belong to the lender, and
they write it up. They dated the date, but the lender doesn't get it until he gives them the money.
Right.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. The other way,
Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, now we're going to go back to the Mishnah Baba Basra, and now what we're going to do is that we're going to offer a second approach to the Mishnah Baba Basra. Again, the Mishnah Baba Basra teaches us that you can go ahead and write the note for the borrower even though the lender is not present. Okay? And we lost our minds. Meaning, are you kidding me? In other words, if the lender's not present, how do you know when the loan actually originates? And aren't you worried about a fictitious lien? And aren't you worried about protecting the buyers? So we gave one approach. One approach is Rav Asi approach, and that is it's a shtar hakna. Okay. We're now going to give a second approach. Abai will tell you the following. Watch carefully. The note's going to be written. It doesn't have to be shtar hakna, right? In other words, and witnesses sign on the note. Once witnesses sign on the note, that creates a shibud. According to Abaye, it's as simple as the witnesses are now going to effectuate the note, give the note its full strength, even though money hasn't been transferred. In other words, if the borrower is commissioning a sofer to go ahead and to write a note, that in of itself is going to create shibud. That'll create lien, that'll create encumbrance, however you want to say it. In other words, the Edim HaChasumim is creating the shibud. Mishum de kashelay. Given that Marbish Tari de Lavaknakile Salamava Badelo Kazvina Lake Lamechesh de Krivikasov. So the Gemara says, and as far as Abai is concerned, so Abai was kind of like backed into that position because how then would you explain our Mishnah? Now Rav Asi will tell you, I'll explain our Mishnah because our Mishnah is talking about where there was a shtar hakna. But in other words, Abai didn't buy that. So Abai's position is the Edim HaChasumim are creating a Shibun. El Ahad did not. So the Gemara says, okay, that's interesting. So now that means to say that once Edim are signing on the shtar, that creates a Shibun. What about the Mishnah? What Mishnah? Coming up in just a couple days from now. El Ahad did not. Matzakite Nash Meshechur Avim Daitiki Matana Vishovim Hareze Lo Yachzir. So first, the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that if I find any note, and when we get to the Mishnah, I'm going to explain every one of those. In other words, each one of them is a purchasing note. Purchasing note, a lending note, whatever. It's a note that transfers. And what I'm not going to do now, and I found it, I'm not going to go ahead and I'm not going to return it. Because what could happen is that we drafted the note, but we never exercised it. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand we're worried about drafting a note and not executing. That's not true. According to Abaye, that's not true by a loan document. According to Abaye, by a loan document, the signing of a loan document is execution. And that means that according to Abaye, all I need to see is that there was a note, there were witnesses who signed on it, notes in force. So the Gemara says, Hani milehecha dekamatu liyadeh, avahecha delamatu liyadeh lo aminan. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand that. But in other words, but the note that's signed, we assume is, excuse me, we assume is executed when the note is being held by either the borrower or the lender. But over here, again, our Mishnayos and Bav Metzia, today's Daf Yud Ches, our Mishnayos and Bav Metzia, where's the note found right now? In the garbage, on the street. So in other words, so it forces us now to raise suspicion. What is happening over here? What's going on? Why did we find the note just lying around in the street? So I understand that normally, under normal circumstances, I have a note and it's signed. So that is the execution of the note. You're right, but that's if the borrower's holding it. That's if the lender's holding it. But I found it in the street. Okay, now we get to be suspicious.
It doesn't say anywhere here it's a loan document.
What?
Get the notions of the where
no, no, but of one of the examples that's given.
It doesn't apply to all of them.
No, correct. No, you're right. And it doesn't explain all the cases over there. No, you're right. But one of them is a loan.
Right. Which one? Doesn't say get the notions of the wooden back to what's the
Shover. I mean, granted, by the way, Shover is a receipt of the payment of the loan. Okay. So Elamas is in Diktani Matzah Shtarichov Im Yesh Bahem Achreis Nechazam Lo Yachzir Vehu Kin Mekesh Chayev Mod Mishum Shem Akazam Lo Vos Benitzan Lo Lava Tishrei Bisham Lo Rav Asi Damar Bishtari Aknaya Samukila Bishar De Lava Aknaya So Kedam Rinan. Okay, now, once again, we go back to our Mishnah. So our Mishnah says what happens is that I found a loan. I found a note. And what do I do with it? So what I do with my note is, our Mishnah says, don't return it. Now, according to Rav Asi, check. Meaning, I know what to do with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the note that I found was not a shtar hakna. Okay. Because the concern now is that there may be a lag between the note was written up and when the lien actually began. And great. And great, not great. But in other words, there's that real concern, and therefore don't return it back to the lender. Because then he may exercise a fictitious lien, and he may go ahead and just simply take away properties from buyers that he had no right to take away. I get it. And as far as the Mishnah Baba Basra is concerned, Mishnah Baba Basra is talking about where it was a shtar hakna. Okay. Therefore, there's no concern of a fictitious lien. According to Rav Asi, the world works. The Mishnah Baba Metzia, the Mishnah Baba Basra, everything works. But Ella by Damar Edav Bechasumim Zachal Michael Amemar. But according to Abaye, we have problems. We have real problems because according to Abaye, what Abaye teach us is that what is executing a shtar, the Edim Hachasumim, the Edim signing on the shtar, that is now what is giving the shtar its power. Either note hasn't materialized as of yet; it doesn't matter. The borrower wants to borrow money. He now commissions the sofer to write it, and he's got the Edom there, and the Edom sign it. The note now is in force. It now there's a lien against that loan, even though the loan hasn't even materialized yet. The loan hasn't originated yet. That's Abaye's Chiddush. So that means to say that according to Abaye, is there a fictitious lien? Nothing doing. Even if the borrower holds on to that note for a month, 2 months, 6 months later, and then hands it to the lender and says, okay, now I'm ready. Lender says, great, here's the money. When did the lien begin? 6 months earlier, at the time when the witnesses signed that document. So now that means that according to Abaye, what's the issue? The Mishnah says, you found a note in the street, and now what? Don't return it, said the Mishnah. Why not? The borrower admitted that he owes the money. The note itself is properly representing what it is, an instrument that allows the lender to collect. The date is real. What's the problem? So okay. So now what we're going to be introducing now is organized crime. Organized crime, right? the Aruch, when he explains the word kanunya, effectively he says that's what it is. And that is the following. You're right. So far, everything's good. Okay, but maybe the following occurred. Ready? Organized crime is always complicated, by the way, but here's basically what happened. In other words, there was a loan. And not only was there a loan, but a lender lent the money, borrow the money, and then borrower paid it back. Lender handed back the note to the borrower. Shalom Yisrael, we're done. The loan is done. But you know what, though? And that is that in that interim period, the borrower sold the property that he didn't really want to sell. He didn't want to sell it. Can I get that property back? So he calls back the lender and he says, I got this great idea. I really want that property back, but I sold it. But you know what? I'm going to give you the note. And we're going to pretend as if I didn't pay back the loan. Yeah, fraud, of course. I'm going to give you back the note. And we're going to pretend as if I didn't pay back the loan. You'll exercise that lien and we're going to get back that property. And we'll figure it out how we're going to split it afterwards, 50-50, 40-60, whatever. In other words, so basically, effectively now, the fact that the note was found in the street, so now Abaye says a new concern, a brand new concern, and that is organized crime. In other words, so all this is a kanunya. All this is just a ruse. It's just a way of allowing the borrower to go ahead and to get back a property that he regrets now having sold. Okay. So the Gemara says, great. So that is the concern for Abaye. Now, Ulishmol Damar Lo Cheshin Lepiron Ula Kanunya Michael Amemar. So the Gemara says, now what about Shita Shmuel? Now that came right out of left field, right? Well, so far today in today's daf, we've dealt with the Rav Asi, we dealt with Abaye. Shmuel right now just all of a sudden materialized. Sure, he came out of left field, and Shmuel's not worried about Kanunya. How do I know that? Based on something he's going to teach us later in our Masechta. It's actually a couple days from now. So the So Hanicha Isav Aleker Ravasi Damar Shtari Akna Muki Masisim B'Shtari Delav Akna. So the Gemara says now Ishmuel held like Ravasi. So then we're fine because again, according to Ravasi, there are two flavors of shtaros. There is one that is a shtar hakna, and there's one that's not a shtar hakna. Our Mishnah is talking about one that's not a shtar hakna. The Mishnah Baba Basra is talking about where there is a shtar hakna. See above. But El Isav Ka Abaye Damar Eda B'Chazum Zachala Michael Meimar. But if I subscribe to Abaye, what is driving a note? The Adam that signed on it. That is giving that's empowering the star. And I'm not worried about Kanunya. So now, according to Shmuel, you find a star in the street. What do? You return it to the lender. Because in other words, we're not worried about a fictitious lien. And I'm not worried about Kanunya, according to Shmuel. So then return it. Now you'll ask, okay, so what's the problem? So then return it. The problem, of course, is our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says, don't return it. So So the Gemara says, okay. So what Shmuel will tell you is that when he sees our Mishnah here in Bava Metzia, he looks at it totally differently than all the above, not like Rav Asi, not like Abaye, but Shmuel will tell you that our Mishnah is talking about where in Love Moda. The Moda is just simply rejecting that the loan never occurred. So Yachi came by Machrais Nechazim HaMayachzer Nehitalo Gabe. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So in other words, if the Mishnah is talking about where the Lova is not admitting, so the Gemara says, so remember in our Mishnah, if the note itself does not have acharas nechasim, so then return it, at least according to the Shita of Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. In other words, okay, so there's no lien on this note, but the note now is going to allow the lender to go ahead and to collect. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Tamei, Damer Shmuel, Omer Haya Rebbe Meir, Shtar Shein Bo, Achreis Nechasim, Ein Govelo Me Meshav, Delo B'nei Chare. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, no, it's not going to be a problem. Why? Because Shmuel's understanding of the position of a mayor is that if your note does not have a chreis nechasim, if that was not written in the note, so then the note is worthless. You can't collect with such a note. Not from properties that were sold and not with holdings that he currently, where the borrower is currently holding. You can't collect anything with that note. And then the obvious question. So the Gemara says, oh, so now the note is worthless, according to Rabbi Meir. So then what are you doing? So I'm Rabbi Nosson, so the lender can go ahead and make a paper airplane out of that paper. Now, I'm joking, by the way, not by much. In other words, the lender is not going to be making a paper airplane. The Gemara's explanation is that he'll use it as a wine stopper. In other words, he opened up a wine, and now he needs something to go ahead and to cork it. He'll take that piece of paper and he'll use it as cork. Okay, or if you prefer, he'll make a paper airplane out of it. So the Gemara says, "V'nahadru lahu lalava latzur botzichus shalove." So the Gemara says, "So wait a second." So according to our mayor, it's a worthless piece of paper. So if it's a worthless piece of paper, so give it back to the malva. Why don't you just give it back to the lova? So the Gemara says, lova da amar lo hayu dvar me olam. Because what the lova is going to tell you is, lahadom. As far as I'm concerned, no, never took place. Lo never took place. That piece of paper, I don't even recognize that piece of paper. Give it back to the lender. Okay. And you know what that means? The music started. Okay, good. All right, but this is it. It's a good place to stop. It's a good place to pause. Okay. What I'd love to do right now is give a sikkum. What I'm not going to do right now is give a sikkum. Okay, I'm not going to summarize right now. I just don't want to fight the music. What I will do tomorrow, Yirtzeh Hashem, is that before we start with tomorrow's daf, so I'll give hopefully an organized summary of our Mishnah Baba Basra. The two ways of understanding the Mishnah Baba Basra, right? You see in my non-summary, by the way, how I'm summarizing the Mishnah Baba Basra could be either interpreted like Rav Asi or like Abaye. And now, once you have that Mishnah Baba Basra, how did you understand our Mishnah? You can either understand it like Rav Asi or like Abaye or like Shita Shmuel. Okay, I'll go over all three of those beginning of tomorrow.